I remember a friend of mine told me that he had a friend and that they wanted to come to my house and study the Bible. He knew that I was a Spirit-filled church member. He knew what I believed. So I invited them over. Immediately after their arrival, he opened the Bible to the book of Acts, chapter 2, one of my favorites. And he commenced telling me that the Holy Spirit that is spoken of in the second chapter of the book of Acts is not for us today. He said it was only for the apostles. So I asked, why the apostles? His reply was, because God has distinguished the apostles from the other disciples of Jesus. And he told me that this was done by baptizing them with the Holy Spirit. Clearly, he says, these are promises given to the apostles and to the apostles only. They had special powers of inspiration to preach and to write without error the New Testament. These are powers that other disciples and ordinary Christians like you and me do not have. Then I said, well, if that be true, only two of the four Gospels were written by one of the 12 apostles. Only eight of the remaining books in the Bible were written by any one of the 12 apostles. Most of the New Testament was written by ordinary men, by ordinary Christians like you and me, holy Christians moved on by the Holy Ghost. So I pointed out another ordinary man. Some of you know of him. His name is Stevens. The Bible described him as being full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom and full of faith. The Bible also tells us that Stevens, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Stephen was an ordinary man like you and me. He wasn't a big shot in the church. He worked in the food pantry. So I said, you've come years too late to tell me that pernicious doctrine. This goes right along with the lesson I'm teaching today about the church. Every group of people that call themselves the church is not the church. The church that my friend attended was not the church that Christ said he would build. No matter what name was displayed upon the door, the true church of Christ is determined by the gospel that's preached within the walls of the church. It's listening time now. Scoot up your chair and lean in. Yesterday I was talking to you about churches, the church that Christ is building. Our Lord Jesus Christ has many churches throughout the world. When I use the word church here, I'm speaking of congregations, many congregations throughout the world. Paul spoke of the churches of Judea. There were many congregations in Judea, and Paul called them churches. Yet they acted and worked and worshiped independently as the entire body of Christ. They were members in particular. But what Jesus is talking about in Matthew the 16th chapter in verse 18 is not many congregations. In Matthew the 16th chapter in verse 18, he told them, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh, my, what a bold statement this was. What a bold statement. Jesus, who was a builder, a carpenter, had never built anything that was this sturdy, this strong, this rot resistant. In fact, if you went back today in the areas where Jesus lived and worked as a construction worker, you would find none of the buildings that he built still standing. The reason for that is that they were earthly buildings. Earthly things will pass away, but things of heaven shall never pass away. And this church that he so boldly proclaimed that he was going to build is a heavenly church, built by God himself. The God of heaven is going to build a heavenly church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If this church that he is going to build here is of God, hell cannot overthrow it. Jesus told them, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What does your mind picture when you read the statement, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it? I don't know what you picture in your mind, but in reality, he was speaking of the council of hell. Back in Jesus' day, all the council took place at the gates of the city. And here, Jesus is saying, the council of hell cannot come up with a plan that will prevail against this church. He didn't say they could not come up against it, but what he said, they shall not prevail. The council of hell will not ever be able to overcome the church. And now, I want to draw your attention to just five words in this 18th verse of the 16th chapter of Matthew. Five words. These words are important. Pastors and church members, you need to look at these five words and take them to heart. It's going to help you. If you take these five words and believe these words, it will be easier for you. You can give a sigh of relief, because right here, in these five words, Jesus takes the responsibility of the building of his church upon himself. It's not upon you. Jesus said, I will build my church. Jesus is building this church. This church is of God. This church is being built by the hand of God. Certainly, come hell or high water, this church will survive. Nothing the devil says or does can prevail against this church, because Jesus said, I will build the church. Now let me ask you a question. Don't you feel better already? Doesn't this lift the burden that's on your shoulders of you thinking that building the church is your responsibility? Jesus said he was going to do it. You may ask me, if Jesus is going to build his church, what part do we play in this body of Christ? I'll tell you. We are to go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit and obey the mission that Jesus set before his listeners. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel, teaching them to observe all the things that I have told you. And the Bible tells us that the Lord added to the church such as would be saved. God adds to the church. Paul put it this way, one plants, One waters, but God gives the increase. If we'll go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit and plant the seed of God's word and water that seed with the living waters that flows from our innermost being, which is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit will do his work. It's not our job to condemn. It's our job to teach and preach and testify. It's the Holy Spirit's job to condemn, convict, and to save. Jesus is just wanting us to do what he did while he was here on this earth. Be filled with the Holy Ghost and go about doing good. We should do what Peter and James and John and the Apostle Paul. Go and preach everywhere this good news that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. If we go forward in the power of the Spirit, which is the only program and the only energy that God has ever provided for his church, if we'll do that, God will add to the church daily such as should be saved. I realize that a lot of preachers, pastors, want to feel like they have built their church, and in some cases, they have. If they have built this church on their own strength, in their own energy, and through their own ingenuity, and through and by their own programs, it will have the form of godliness, but it will deny the power thereof. I don't want to just gather with a group of people for fellowship only, for social interaction only. I want to assemble with a group of people that worships God in spirit and in truth. I don't want to hear a mere essay on Sunday mornings. I want to hear a message from a man much like Jesus described John the Baptist. Listen to Jesus' description of John the Baptist. He was a burning and shining light. That's the kind of a preacher I want to hear every Sunday. One that's burning. One that's a shining light. Revealing anything that would keep me from going in the rapture. I want to see and hear a burning and shining light in the church that Christ is building.